Hey everybody, welcome to Matt and Dory's Excellent Adventure. I'm Matt.
I'm Dory.
We're coming to you from an atmospheric river.
It's a Pineapple Express.
We're in a river. Woo. Of atmosphere. It's raining.
It's raining a lot. It's raining a lot here in Los Angeles.
Started a little later than I thought it would.
Yeah. I think the forecast changed a little bit.
Yeah.
But
it's what everyone's talking about around here, you know?
It's true.
People are like, brace yourselves. It's going to be wet out there. The end.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, people here don't know how to drive in the rain, and the streets are not equipped to handle water.
Yeah.
So the combination is not great.
Well, just wait for the post-water pothole situation.
Oh, my God.
I drove past the pothole.
That's triggering.
That you destroyed the Volvo on the first time you did it this month. And it looked like it was opening back up. So
be careful
out there, everyone.
Why are they so bad at this?
Well, I mean, it's just not, you know, it's not their thing.
Road maintenance.
Yeah.
Sure.
They're more into like road observations.
We saw, Henry and I saw someone doing like surveying the road, and we discussed that they could be thinking about putting in a traffic light or crosswalk. Yeah. And then Henry got very into like announcing when there was too much distance between two lights and that there needed to be like a crosswalk or a light in between them.
Yeah.
As we were driving, he was like, there should be a crosswalk here.
Well, he's a little urban planner.
He is a little urban planner. So we went to the library yesterday, speaking of urban planning, and I haven't taken to the library in a very long time, to the point where he didn't know how libraries worked and was like fascinated when I explained it to him. And I was like, oh God, I'm failing my civic duty here. But he got a library card, which is very exciting. And we went to the children's room and I asked the children's librarian, like, do you have any like kids books on like roads or traffic or, you know, street design or anything like that? And they really didn't. And like, not only did they not, but like, it didn't really exist. Like, she looked in the catalog to see if there were stuff at like other libraries in the system and kind of came up empty, which surprised me because I was like, surely there are other children out there who are as fascinated by roads, traffic lights, and signs as Henry is.
There are, certainly. But to the point where a book is needed, I don't know.
I bet Henry would like a book.
Should we write that book?
Maybe.
We'll sell one copy to Henry.
We'll make him a bespoke book.
He'll have to pay us through the nose for it, though.
That's true.
You know, we can't just be giving away books.
You're right. Wait, what did you ask him? You asked him if he knew how books were made, and he said that you bake them?
All of these words are very familiar to me, but I don't think I was part of that conversation.
No, you were. You asked the question. You said, "Bud, do you know how books are made?" And
I asked him that.
Yes, you did.
Oh, okay.
And then, he was like, "Do you bake them?"
I remember the question coming up. I thought it was his question, and then I asked him how he thinks they're made.
I mean, that might have been the order of operations, but I thought,
you know, because it's important when a question's asked by a kid to sort of gauge what they're already thinking.
Interesting.
So you got to turn the question around on them.
Oh.
And go, well, how do you think books are made? Because then you're going to get a funny answer like, you bake them.
You bake them.
So.
Yeah. So.
Excuse me.
So we took some books. We took some books out of the library, but there was, we got one book that was sort of about signs, but like not really. Like the thing that I was picturing didn't really exist, which was unfortunate.
Yeah. What else is happening around here? Oh, Dory sent me a job that's open, everybody, that I'm thinking about applying for, which is a writer producer at WWE. And I was like, whoa, this is right up my alley. I meet every criteria for the job. I might be overqualified for it, but I also feel like, you know, give me 5 years, I'll be running creative over there. You would have none of this nonsense right now about Cody Rhodes and The Rock and Roman Reigns. We'd be clean. We would have finished that story a long time ago.
Wow.
Anyway. I'd be like, sorry, The Rock, board member of TKO, parent company of WWE. No one wants this right now. Why don't you save yourself for SummerSlam? Also, please get into ring shape. Anyway.
Yeah, I was, you know.
I was very intrigued.
I was doing my daily LinkedIn trawling. And I came across this job and was like, huh, this sounds like something Matt would enjoy. So I sent it to him. And then he was like, I don't have a resume.
I don't. So I'm going to have to figure out how to write a resume.
I said I would help you.
The 12. I don't even know how many. The last 10 years of TV jobs? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
2015, I don't know. But I was like, ooh, but you got to work in Connecticut and then you got to travel to either Monday Night Raw or SmackDown every week. So I was like,
And also the pay-per-view events, it says that in the job
premium live events. Here I am. Yeah. Look at me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would be pretty interesting. And Henry's going to be that age pretty soon where he would be like, that would be the coolest job for a dad to have. So, you know, we'll see. I figure they're probably going to want to open an LA branch, you know? But with, you know, TKO and WME.
I mean, look, when you get the job, you can pitch that.
Oh, sorry. TKO and Endeavor. I'll happily open up the WWE's LA offices. Anyway, whatever. The point is, I really was like, oh, I could do that job. How much do you think you'll make? And then Dory's like, you're probably too overqualified. And I was like,
I brought him back down to earth real fast.
Doesn't hurt to ask.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't hurt to apply either.
Right.
But I just...
So stay tuned, everybody.
I just wanted Matt to understand that media salaries outside of television are not...
But this is television. That's the thing, right?
I mean,
like,
outside of unionized television.
Right.
Are not
great. I feel like Endeavor, you know, is behind this. I could probably be the guy to get them unionized.
You should lead with that.
I'm going to, Vince is gone, so I'm not going to get thrown out just by saying it.
I have applied to 3 jobs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still, you know, still looking, still applying.
I'm selling things on eBay at a nice clip. I would call it not a rapid clip, but like a decent clip. I don't know if you've noticed, but like you can see deeper and deeper into my office as the days go by
because
more stuff's leaving my office.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Doesn't it feel good?
Yeah. And then it's like, but then I'm like, well, I got to figure out how to make my own boxes. That's the thing. I'm like, yeah, this box
That's your biggest problem right now.
No. It's not a problem. It's not a problem.
No, because, I know.
Like, I want to sell like some of the bigger stuff, like the golf bags and such. And the box has been the thing holding me back. But
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Felt pretty confident today when I cut down a guitar box to make it work for a Simpsons Lego set.
I thought that looked good.
Yeah. So,
looked better than it looked better than what I jury-rigged together when I sold a Lego set, which was just cutting up Trader Joe's grocery bags and then realizing, "Oh, this doesn't really like protect the box that much."
Oh, you didn't even, you didn't bubble wrap it.
No, I did nothing. I just wrapped it in the grocery bag.
Oh, boy.
I mean, and it was huge.
Yeah, it was.
But then I was like, well, it was only going to like Covina or something. Like, it wasn't going that far.
Right.
So I was like, it'll probably be fine.
this one's going to Henderson, Nevada. I should ask him if he wanted me to deliver it personally.
She gave me 5 stars, so I think it was fine.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it was on Poshmark. I sold it on Poshmark.
Still a couple sets. You got a hot auction for a Land Rover Technics build. That's at $150 right now. You got a lot of watchers on things. Excuse me.
Uh-huh.
I've got a Shohei Ohtani card listed. PSA 10. 5 out of 5. That's the number of it. It's an out of 5 red foil.
Wow.
WBC classic. So if you're in the market for a Shohei card, you can show your kids.
You can Shohei your kids.
I saw it and I decided to avoid that.
I decided to go for it.
I see. Well, you know.
That's the difference between us.
That one is, I'm asking a stupid amount of money for it because it's PSA 10. So I have it listed for $3,500, but make me an offer. The one guy who did make me an offer made me an offer for $100 under my cutoff. And I was like, I never saw that.
It is amazing to me that people will pay that for a baseball card, but I guess that's the point.
TBD, if they will, actually.
Right.
But
right.
I love it so much because I took it out of a pack like a regular Joe.
I love that for everyone.
And then I went, oh my God, look at this card. And then I sent it to you. You were out of town, if I remember correctly.
Yes, I believe I was.
And I was like, you don't even understand this card. This card could really turn us around this month.
Are you still, here's a question, are you still working on your script?
That's taken a bit of a backseat to the urgency of cash flow, mm-hmm. needing a cash flow. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, actually, you know, something that's funny, it's something I was thinking about today, was a division of labor amongst the eBay stuff and writing. I was thinking about days of the week. Like if I were writing Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Yep.
And I was Tuesday, Thursday was all day eBaying.
Yeah.
That would probably be a good mix because, you know, all the things I sell, you know, when I ship them out, I get them all shipped out within a day always anyway.
Yeah.
So if I sold something on Monday, it would get shipped out on Tuesday. And if I sold something on Tuesday, if it was early enough in the day, it's going out that day. Otherwise, it will go out Thursday.
Would you be able to resist not doing baseball card stuff on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday?
I think so. I don't know. We'll find out.
Do you want to try that?
This is like this is what I was thinking this week, this today.
Well, you know, it's funny. It's funny you say that because, as you know, you have ADHD, and my work wife, Kate Spencer, also has ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of similarities in the way the two of you kind of operate. And she, you know, she also writes books. And you had said to me at one point that, like, you have trouble, like, switching.
Yes.
And if you get interrupted doing something, like, it's hard for you to go back to it. Mm-hmm. And she basically said the same thing. Like, she was like, I need, like, these days for podcasting and these days for writing. And I was like, oh, Matt is the same way. Like, he can't do like 2 hours of writing and then 2 hours of podcasting and 2 hours of writing. Like, he can't.
Yeah, no.
That doesn't work. He needs to know that, like, this is my writing day. This is my podcasting day. So maybe.
Yeah, because I feel like if I have something that's in the middle of all these things, it's not. My brain tells me you're not going to have enough time to get into a rhythm and to like get into a flow. So don't bother writing.
Yeah.
Because you've got a, because you have an 11 a.m. therapy appointment that will only last 50 minutes, your whole day is shot. Brain. That's what the brain thinks.
Right.
Not true, but it's, but it is what I, it's sort of how my brain works and how I often see productivity.
Well, it's just funny to hear Kate articulate it in the same way, because I was like, oh, I've heard Matt say that too.
Yeah.
You know, it was just interesting.
Yeah, it's a real truism. I find that to be, yeah, I find it to be a pain in the butt.
Mm, I hear that.
To functionally like, eh. Anyway, that's the update, guys.
Before we take a break, I have two updates. One is that we are now publishing ad-free episodes on the $10 Patreon tier. So if ad-free episodes are a thing that you want, go to patreon.com/excellentadventure, sign up for the $10 tier. We offer a free trial, so you can always check us out for 7 days.
Last week, I overcomplicated it by like, Dory and I would have a little chat during the break.
So like I had a little Easter egg.
Yeah, I had to create two versions of the podcast file.
And then the Patreon version like didn't
work. And then one of them got corrupted somehow. It was very weird. We'll see how that goes.
And then I fixed it by just cutting 5 seconds off the beginning of the episode.
Then yeah, it was like, not, again.
Then it was like, okay.
I really don't know. It wasn't a file size problem. It was very weird.
It wasn't a naming issue.
Multiple exports.
Yeah.
It was very, very, very weird.
Yeah, and then it didn't work until I cut 5 seconds off. The other thing is, you know, last week a listener had said, remind us of what your Venmo is so we can Venmo you. And a bunch of people did Venmo us, which was like very kind. And there was one particular person who was extremely generous. And I just want to give a special thank you to that person. They know who they are.
I got a text message. I only know about one Venmo, and this one was so generous that Dory actually texted me about it. And I was like,
I did. And this person wrote that they had gone through hard times and they understood where we are right now, and they were grateful for the podcast. And I just wanted to say an extra special thank you. It really was very touching and very meaningful. So thank you so much. Yeah.
Latest update on the Volvo, if anyone's wondering.
I'm wondering.
I got it to the house. The car is no longer in Encino. The car is in our driveway. Andy drove me up after we recorded the podcast, whatever night we did that, last week, Tuesday or something like that. It's sitting there. I was waiting for a kit to arrive on Wednesday, which it did. But the kit doesn't work. So I came up with a new plan. I'm going to update everybody on this again next week. Since I had a stripped key and the lug nut itself, the channel, I think, is... It's more the key that's stripped than anything. I actually got some JB Weld, mixed it up, dipped the key in, I turned the key, you know, and dipped it in there, and I stuck it on, slotted it right into where it should sit, and it clicked in, and then I taped the wheel, and I've been letting it cure. Now it's cured for a full day, and I went out there and I fiddled with it with my hand a little bit. I was like, oh yeah, that's real, real solid. So we'll see if this dumb plan of mine works. Questions are bound. What am I going to do if the other three lug nuts that need that key? Well, since it's JB Weld, I think I can heat it up with a torch and get it to soften again, just because that's what I use with golf club heads. So that works. I know that.
Okay.
So I can get that glue soft again and I can get that key out. But for right now, I'm excited about this plan. Thank you.
What are you going to do if it doesn't work?
Next question.
This is what I'm afraid of. Okay.
It's going to work.
Okay.
I think. I mean, really, by the way, if this doesn't work, then it's so on those. It's Culver City Volvo. I don't know how fucking tight you decided to make that, but it is way over tightened. Should not be a problem. And it is a problem. It's really annoying. Anyway. I had a good plan, I thought. I thought you'd all be excited about it, but Dory's not excited about it.
I'm excited. I'm just like tired and...
Well, I'm not the one who backed into a curb.
I didn't say you were.
Interesting.
Did I ever say you were the one who backed into a curb?
You seem to be blaming me for this problem.
I'm not blaming you for anything.
You just don't like how long the solution takes.
That is true.
Well, if you don't, you know, if I don't want the solution to cost, you know, $1,000, then it's going to take a little longer.
Okay. Well, I hope it works out.
Then cutting through an alloy wheel.
For all of our sakes.
And then charging us for a new rim.
We need to take a break.
All right. We'll be right back.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
And we're back, everybody. Hi.
Just a reminder, please email us at doryandmatt@gmail.com or mattanddory@gmail.com. You can also call or text us at 413-461. Baby. All right. We're going to get to some emails, some voicemails. This is from Emily. Dear Matt and Dory, I'm writing in with a conundrum that comes from a ridiculous amount of fertility privilege. So I completely understand if you decide it's not fair to share, but as it's explicitly IVF related, I can't think of a better place to ask. So here goes. After struggling with anovulatory infertility due to PCOS for years and undergoing 6 failed IUIs, I did one round of IVF 6 years ago and ended up with many healthy embryos. I was lucky enough to get pregnant with my daughter on her first transfer, and shortly after weaning her, all of a sudden started ovulating regularly for the first time in my life. As a result, I was able to conceive my second daughter relatively straightforwardly and spontaneously. We have always wanted and planned on having 3 children and are finally beginning conversations around resuming trying, but my husband and I are a bit conflicted and in disagreement about how best to proceed. Personally, I would like to resume IVF and try transferring 1/some of our remaining embryos while my husband wants to try for another spontaneous pregnancy. I totally understand where he's coming from. IVF is no cup of tea for anyone, and getting pregnant on my own was certainly cheaper, less stressful, and more straightforward. However, I'm an extremely anxious pregnant person, and the idea of getting pregnant with embryos that are 6 years younger than us biologically seems extraordinarily beneficial to me. 29-year-old eggs and 33-year-old sperm. There would be a much lower chance of miscarriage and other negative outcomes. Furthermore, it somehow seems icky to try naturally when we have so many embryos already created and just waiting around that we've been paying $850 a year to store. Am I crazy for wanting to go back to IVF when there's probably a semi-decent chance we can conceive on our own? Is my husband crazy for denying the benefits of these youthful little embryos? I will mention that we have a little bit of insurance coverage, but I still suspect we'd spend at least a few $1,000s to transfer. This is not nothing, but as my husband rightly pointed out, kind of a drop in the bucket when it comes to the cost of raising kids, so I'm trying to remove the cost as part of the calculus for this decision. There's definitely no right answer here, but I would just love to hear some thoughts and input from other eggheads to help guide the decision. Thanks, Emily, in the suburbs of Boston. With 2,500 square feet, 1 science toddler, 1 non-science toddler, 1 medium-sized TV, and 1 projector. Does that count? That's where my husband watches all the Celtics games.
Yeah, it'll count.
No hot dogs in 2024, but it's still early.
Yes, it is early. Early in that hot dog year. Sounds like you have your mind made up, and I say go for it.
I do just want to gently point out that I don't think that I think calling the 29-year-old eggs and 33-year-old sperm embryos extraordinarily beneficial by a lot, like I would push back on that. Like, it's not like you're saying you are 48, like you're 35, I like, and your husband is 39, if I'm doing the math correctly. Like, I don't think there is some extraordinary biological
Oh, I thought that was meant in the sense that they're already baked.
No, I think she was saying that they are somehow healthier and like that.
Right, because you know, old eggs and sperm make right. weird kids.
I mean, that's kind of what she's implying, which I kind of take issue with.
I don't know. Henry's pretty weird, so I get it.
He is weird. So, you know, I'm going to assume that you did not mean to offend Emily, but I'm just going to gently push back on that a bit.
Whereas I, you know, I try to see the best in everybody, so I completely assumed you meant it as they're already baked.
I don't think that's what she meant.
You're probably right.
I mean...
But I'm such a gentle soul.
You are such a gentle soul. Here's not that you asked exactly what I would do in your situation, but since you wrote into my podcast, I'm going to tell you. I would try for 6 months to conceive spontaneously, and if it doesn't work, I would then just go straight to IVF, to the embryos that you already have. That's it.
Nicely done.
You might as well try to save $10,000. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, you're paying $850 a month to keep the $850 a year to keep these things frozen.
Right.
I see the benefit also in just unfreezing them in your womb.
I hear you. All right. This is from Grace. Hi, Matt and Dory. Longtime listener here. I started listening to your podcast early on after hearing about it through Nerdist years ago and became really invested in your IVF journey, even though I had no experience with infertility and didn't fully understand everything. I never thought I would be going through infertility and IVF myself years later. Throughout my 20s, I wasn't really sure if I wanted kids. I got married at 28 and wanted to enjoy married life for a while before thinking about having kids. COVID hit when I was 30 and I absolutely didn't want to have a baby during the pandemic. Sure. We finally decided to start trying soon after I turned 33. I had my IUD removed and didn't have a period after 3 months, so I saw my OBGYN. She prescribed me Provera to induce a period. Months later, still no period on my own. I went on another round of Provera and started Clomid. I didn't ovulate after 3 rounds of Clomid and was referred to an RE. My antral follicle count was 0 and AMH was 0.042. I was devastated that this could be happening at age 34. Even as a listener of this podcast, I still wasn't prepared. I feel like I should have known better and seen an RE earlier, but I thought it was just my body taking a long time to adjust to being off hormonal contraception and that everything would return to normal. 2 months later, I retested and my AFC was 2 and AMH was 0.3. I did a saline ultrasound and found that I had a large polyp that had to be removed via hysteroscopy. The pathology report revealed endometritis with plasma cells, and now we need to treat it with 2 weeks of antibiotics and do another biopsy after that, and hopefully after that we can get started with IVF. 3 people at work recently announced their pregnancies. One of them was an oops, and it sent me spiraling. It feels so unfair that some people can get pregnant so easily while my body seems to be doing everything it can to not get pregnant. I'm trying to stay positive and patient, but I feel like it's going to be a long road ahead. Just wanted to share my story with a community of people who would understand, and I hope to update you all in the future. Thanks for everything you do. Grace, in 2,400 square feet, in suburban Chicago, 2 adults, 175-inch TV, 155-inch TV, 0 hot dogs.
Nice. On the hot dog count, I mean.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, Claudia, I'm not Claudia. Sorry, Claudia is the next email. Grace, I am sorry that you're going through this. Yeah, IVF, it just all sucks. And it sounds like you're in the changing goalposts phase.
Yeah, you think it's going to be one thing? Yep. Guess what?
Oh, now you have endometritis. Oh, now you have a polyp. Now you have this. Now you have that. Like, it's just...
We just found an attitude problem. That's what a doctor would say. And he'd be like, what? Mm-hmm. Of all the things.
So, yeah. I'm glad we can be here for you. Feel free to write us anytime.
We are... we're standing by.
We are. All right. We are going to listen to a voicemail. We're probably only going to listen to half of it because it is extremely long. As much as I love the long voice memo, it is really quite long. So
how will we do this?
What do you mean?
Well, if you know the content of it, wouldn't you know what to play? Whereas I'm now controlling playing it. So,
well, we're just going to play, I think, the first half. It'll be clear when the subject changes.
I see. Okay, here we go. Ready?
Yep.
Hey, Matt and Dory and Henry and Beau, Phoebe and Revere here. First off, I just want to thank folks who weighed in on my previous what would you do about weaning before starting an egg retrieval cycle. I ended up deciding not to wean my 14-month-old daughter because, well, honestly, I'm kind of lazy and it was just easier not to wean her. And now I'm really glad I didn't, which is the reason I'm calling today. So first off, I just wanted to vent about how much infertility and having to undergo IVF sucks. The fact that so many of us have to undergo this to make a family, it sucks. I was most recently reminded of this last month when the 8 mature eggs I froze when I was 34 resulted in no embryos making it to biopsy stage. And then again reminded of this, how much all of this sucks when I was working feverishly to get my meds for this most recent egg retrieval. Of course, the day before I'm supposed to start them and CVS Caremark wanted to charge me $3,800 for the meds because it was the start of a new fiscal year and I'm on a high deductible plan left over from my employer last year. Good Lord, $3,800 when I've been unemployed for a year. Great. But this local fertility pharmacy was only going to charge me $3,100 if I were paying out of pocket because they cut folks a break, which is nice of them. So, my insurance is going to disappear at the end of this month anyway, so I decided not to work towards hitting that deductible because it just doesn't matter after this month. But I.
Wow. Insurance is fucking racket.
Mm-hmm. Truly.
Yeah. Anyway, back in.
Spent an entire day on the phone with the two pharmacies trying to work up pricing, looking at medication alternatives with my clinic, and having the pharmacies reverse their claims on my business so the other pharmacy could offer the pricing, and then I'd call back and the pricing would be different, and it was just a freaking nightmare. I got the meds in the end and started the cycle, so whatever, onwards and upwards, right? Wrong, because IVF just sucks. 13 days later, 4 monitoring appointments, 27 injections in total, we get to the retrieval. And I'm ecstatic because they got 12 eggs, which is 3 more than they got when I did my last retrieval in 2020. And I'm 39 and a half, and I'm feeling like this is amazing. 12 eggs, awesome. And then the bad news starts rolling in. So they call the next day, and only 11 of them were mature, but okay, that's fine. Not a big deal. Only 5 of them fertilized. Okay, not great, but whatever. And then they call me yesterday and not a single one made it to blastocyst. So we have no embryos to biopsy or freeze and no companion for our science baby who is now 14 months old on the horizon. So we had 20 eggs in the last 2 months and now we have nothing. And I'm heartbroken. The doctor who I haven't spoken with yet, just her nurse, wants us to come in for a blood test before we have our follow-up with her in like 2 or 3 weeks. And I'm reading this directly from the email because I don't know these words. They want us to look for a chromosome analysis karyotype because our previous cycles have shown poor blastulation, meaning something like poor quality. And sometimes a karyotype can be the cause of this. But what I want to know is, why, when you take 14 vials of my blood before every cycle we do, I count 14 vials, and you make my husband do blood work and a semen analysis before I've around, like, why is this not something you're looking for already? If this could have saved us 20 freaking eggs, including my youngest eggs from when I was 34, and thousands of dollars, and all of this emotional weight, like, why didn't we do this before? I'm so frustrated, and I'm sad, and I'm angry. And I think the worst part now is that my husband and I we're like at each other's throats the last day and a half. I think we're both just grieving and feeling so angry and hopeless, and it's making us really shitty towards each other. And I don't know how to break out of it when neither one of us, I think, has the emotional energy or emotional bandwidth to really like lift the other person up. It's normally me doing that and me kind of being the bigger person. And I don't have it in me today, hopefully tomorrow. But yeah, this just sucks all around. I'm so sorry for everyone who has to go on this shitty adventure. I would not say it is excellent, 95% of the time. But I am really thankful for you two and this community that you've created. And the fact that I can just leave you a ranting voice memo. And I know that you guys and the listeners will get it. So thank you for that. But I guess I'm putting out an egg signal, if you can. I've been trying to figure out kind of what has gone wrong with these last two cycles, like why all of a sudden we've failed twice to get any embryos. And a friend of mine thinks that it could be because they did Pixie these last two rounds and they didn't do Pixie in 2020 when we got 9 eggs, and those resulted in 2 embryos to biopsy, one of which was super abnormal and they discarded, and then the other one turned into our daughter. So wondering if Pixie is the reason why this fails, even though I thought Pixie was supposed to be like such a direct way to success. But if anyone has thoughts on this, please let me know. And yeah, also like I was just thinking, wouldn't it be wonderful if the clinic comes back and says like, you know what, we messed up those 2 rounds. Here's a free one on us so we can try to fix our mistake.
Phoebe, well, thank you for this voicemail. And sorry to cut you off. And I'm sorry about your eggs and your embryos, and ugh, it all just sucks.
Interesting. Pixie is, are you familiar with the difference between Pixie and ICSI?
No.
Pixie is physiological intracytoplasmic sperm injection. Mm-hmm. It's a technique used to select sperm to use in ICSI, which is intracytoplasmic sperm injection. So it's rather than just willy-nilly picking, you know, a sperm and trying to throw it into an egg. It's more of a screening process, I guess, for the sperm.
Interesting. I mean, look, could it have been Pixie? Sure. I feel like you might never know, you know, and you might just
it could be any one of a thousand factors, you know.
Right.
It could be you guys are too stressed out, or it could be that,
could be the lab, could be your eggs, could be his sperm. Like, there's so many factors that go into it. I think sometimes we drive ourselves a little crazy trying to find the reason, because then it feels like we're kind of more in control and that we can fix it. But like, what if you determine that Pixie was the reason and then you do one without Pixie and it still doesn't work? Like, what are you going to, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's very frustrating.
And back to the thing of like, why don't they screen for this initially when they're taking all that blood? I mean, honestly, my guess is it's an annoyingly complicated test that probably costs money, more money, and they don't want to, like, my guess is it doesn't affect enough couples where they're
not
having to
enough.
Screen. And, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, it's a shitty way to find out.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're using up eggs.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's my guess. I'm not sure, though.
Yeah, I would guess that as well. Well, Matt, let's take another break.
All right. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
And we're back, everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
All right. This is from Rick. Hello, Matt and Dory, longtime listener, third time emailing this pod. I emailed before about my wife who has Cartagena's
My wife. Sorry.
Syndrome. And we wanted to do one-on-one help with insurance benefits for average folks who don't know how to best work the system. I just finished all of Star Trek TNC, and as of today, I finished all of Excellent Adventure. It only took me from June 8th, 2023 to listen to them all. We don't have any need for IVF advice, but I love learning and the relationship y'all share. I actually have something I can contribute to hopefully help Matt with his sleepiness and apnea issues.
Mm.
I had untreated sleep apnea for a very long time, and over my 17 years of marriage, my wife Jessica has stressed to me how much I would struggle to breathe at night. I always felt I was okay and didn't need any treatment, just more Diet Mountain Dew. Laughing emoji, big fan of that drink. Well, in March of this last year, I came to realize how severe my condition was. After coming home from singing at church, I made my lunch and sat down on the couch, as I always did, only to come to and be surrounded by paramedics and a very scared family. I just stopped responding to anyone and was barely breathing, turning blue, fists clenched, and had to be admitted to the hospital because of the sudden issues with breathing and oxygen. After a week in the hospital, I was told my untreated sleep apnea caused issues with my oxygenation, and that, coupled with my excessive weight, led to the nearly fatal incident. I did sleep studies and found to have severe sleep apnea, and if not treated with the CPAP and weight loss, I could have it happen again. I hated the idea of a CPAP mask or oxygen on me at night, but I realized I hated the idea of putting my family through such a scary ordeal again, or dying was worse. I've stayed fairly consistent with the CPAP and other changes recommended by the doctors until recently, when my masks were not fitting right. Just a week of not using my CPAP properly landed me in the ER again with the same symptoms as before. Oh my God. Blue, not responding, clenched fists, because I wasn't breathing properly at night without a working CPAP mask. Matt, don't wait. Don't wait on getting this addressed. I'm lucky that my family caught me quickly and that I didn't pass in my sleep. Please follow up on the sleep study and get the machine and treatment you need. Henry, Dory, and Beau need you in their lives and don't want to see what happened to me happen to you.
I was with you till the last part. Beau doesn't care.
Feel free to ask away about any of this process. I'm happy to help. I will now continue to wait for weekly releases while also going back and revisiting old episodes of Excellent and TNC. Thank you for the endless hours of entertainment as I work doing DoorDash, Instacart, and Facebook.
Not endless, because apparently they just ended for you.
Sincerely, Rick and Jess in Corpus Christi, living in a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 1,220-square-foot home with 4 TVs ranging from 32 to 70 inches, along with 3 dogs, a cat, and 3 of my 4 children for now until I move in with my in-laws at the end of the month so I can save up money while I study for my CDL so we can move into something bigger. Lots of proper hot dogs in 2023, but alas, only 4 corn dogs so far in 2024.
I mean, it's a decent amount of corn dogs to have squeezed in by February. I'll just say that.
That's not
nothing to sneeze at.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong about that.
Amazing. I'm glad that everything is okay with you and that your apnea has been treated and that you're... I'm curious about the... It just stopped fitting, right?
That's what he said.
I wonder what happened. Anyway. Yeah. We'll see. God, I got so many doctors. It's ridiculous. Yeah. But my sleep, I don't know. I feel like my sleep's been better. I haven't had the middle of the day narcoleptic naps.
Yeah.
I'm
going to credit my telling you not to drink caffeine at midnight for that.
Oh, I think there's a cutoff of, well, usually it's 3 o'clock.
It should be 3.
Blew past that, not realizing it's 4:51. Jeez.
Okay, well cut yourself off.
The cutoff is 4:51.
And then
this morning, I woke up at like 3:30 and looked at my watch, and my watch was stuck on 9 o'clock, and I was like, something's wrong with my watch, and I gotta send that in. God knows how much that would cost to fix, so we'll just leave it for a long time. Then I looked at the Alexa, and it was 3:30 in the morning, and I was like, oh. So I sat up, and I turned the something on. Oh, I turned on some Star Wars thing on YouTube.
Mm-hmm,
the bread circus.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I fell back asleep, and the next thing I remember was Henry tapping on me going, Dita, it's 4:51.
He told me he didn't come out till 5:56.
Sorry, 5:51.
Okay, I was like, wait a second.
Sorry, not 4:51, 5:56. 5:51, yeah. Or 6, whatever. Whatever, yeah, it was.
Whatever it was.
Sing-songy way he said it. And then he's like, I need to watch Stinky and Dirty. And I was like, okay. And then what happens, like, I'm usually so tired when he asks that, like, between hitting Amazon Prime and waiting for the accounts to load up, I fall asleep again. Mm. And he has to go, Dina! Anyway. And then I got up and made him Raisin Toast, because he demanded it, and been up ever since.
Not too shabby.
Mama got to be not woken up till 7:30.
That's true.
And he probably made it till 7:26 or something like that. He almost, I don't think he fully got to 7:30.
I think it was 7:27.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Maria says, your discussion of selling your excess golf equipment reminds me of a friend who died recently. Everyone knew he was an avid golfer, but not even his wife knew that he had a separate storage unit for golf equipment.
Oh, Jesus.
They found 19 golf bags, each one fully equipped with everything needed, including a wallet with cash and passes to his courses. They had a yard sale for golfers, and there was a huge attendance. Bet you could do a targeted golf and guitar sale and pull people in.
Yeah, but like, hey, any lefty people out there that need these things? It's like, that's where I'm like, oh, that's like 10% of a... Anyway, if you're left-handed and you're looking for a 1963 pre-CBS Fender Jaguar, check it out on Reverb. It's for sale right now. Consigned it with Imperial Vintage. Right now it's listed for $15,000. Here's the secret. I'll take like 12. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Maria. As far as I know, Matt does not have a secret storage unit yet.
So shockingly, there's not shockingly, look behind me.
Yeah.
I don't have a storage unit.
But it's not secret. I can walk in there anytime.
Henry does actually walk in here all the time. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, get out of my secret storage office.
All right. Last email from Anonymous, who says, my daughter is about 2 months younger than Henry, and I started listening in late 2018 when Dory and I were both pregnant. I had to write in after the Disney discussion on your most recent episode. We are going to LA next month to visit family and decided to throw in a Disney day while we're in the area. My daughter likes the characters and I know she'll enjoy the food, but she's pretty much the exact opposite of Henry in that she's a sensory avoider, not a thrill seeker. This is to the point where when we ride a local carousel, she will only sit on the horses that don't go up and down, refuses the train at the zoo. She even gets nervous when she swings too fast at the playground. I did some research and have an idea of very chill rides that I think we will start with. Canal boats, Small World, Jungle Cruise. Also, have some others in mind if she feels adventurous and gets more comfortable. Astro Blasters, yes. Autopia. I'm open to other suggestions. Here are my questions for...
I don't know if Astro Blasters will be back up. It's under refurb right now.
I also... Yeah. Yeah, it is. Also, Autopia is very loud. The cars are very loud.
But if she has
headphones. All right, here are my questions for you, the Disney experts. How would you structure a day around the very gentle rides and the playground / attractions like Minnie's House? We're just doing Disney, not California Adventure. I would say you're going to probably stick close to like around Fantasyland and Toontown.
Well, no, Adventureland is where Jungle Cruise is.
Oh, yeah, Jungle Cruise. That's right.
And Tomorrowland is where Autopia is and the Astro Blasters. I'm sorry, Astro Blasters isn't under refurbishment. I was thinking of the Astro Orbiter.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I think Astro Blasters, I think it'll be fine. I think that is open. So, unlike Dory says, you gotta swing through all the lands. I would go down the hub, but I'd break left. I'd start in Adventureland and knock out Jungle Cruise first. because of all the rides you mentioned, the one that tends to get the longest line of all those is Jungle Cruise. So if you do that early in the day, great. And then Small World has a pretty quick line. And oh, wait, she didn't say Small World, did she? She said
no, she did. She said Small World.
Oh, good. And then, so you could do Small World, then swing, and then go into Fantasyland. And in order, you could hit the canal boats, Small World. Sorry, the canal boats, Minnie's House, Small World, Autopia, like in a row, mm-hmm. like in a line.
Matt, we have to wrap up because it is almost 5 and Holly has yes. to go home and there's a rainstorm. I don't want her to be late. So right. do you want to do the last 5 minutes of this after we put Henry to bed?
Well, you put me on the spot. So if I say yes, then it's a, what if I say no? Then I'm the reason the podcast is shorter. No one likes that. We'll be back.
Okay.
Not a commercial break, but we'll be right back. And we're back from the thing that we went to do that wasn't a commercial.
It was make dinner,
give Relieve Henry babysitter.
Give Henry a bath, do the whole bedtime thing, put Henry to bed, watch some of the Grammys, get bored of the Grammys, and live TV has a lot of commercials.
Oh, does it ever? Oh, I mean, I learned so many things.
You learn if you have COVID, get Paxlovid.
Yes, that is good rhyming.
And you also learned that there's a new menopause medication.
I learned that, of course. And then the other thing I learned was that after midnight has the at symbol as the A for after, which I think is very dumb.
Mm. Yeah, there were.
Is there X name at after midnight?
Good question.
I'm very curious.
This is an important question. Yeah, we saw in.
I don't know why they just didn't call it after at midnight.
In the 40 minutes that I was watching, there were
yes.
at least 2, if not 3, after midnight promos.
Well, I saw a thing that said, after midnight ratings, fine for CBS.
Fine.
I was like, wow, I've never seen that.
Oh, we saw a commercial for The Equalizer, to which you said, yep.
That show's still on. Good for her.
And I said,
her being
it's a procedural on CBS. Of course it's still on. And Matt said, oh, good point.
We laughed. We're so, we're industry insiders. So obviously we laughed.
We really chortled.
Anyway, where did we leave off?
I don't even remember. Well, we left off.
Disneyland. Yes, I was giving Disneyland
Anonymous
advice.
Anonymous was asking for Disney advice. So we had given them advice about how to do gentle rides and attractions. And you had suggested, mm-hmm. I believe, starting in Adventureland to do Jungle Cruise first.
And then sliding on over down.
Okay. Now this, I'm curious to hear what you say about this next question. Our group will be 3 adults and the 4.5-year-old. I do not share my daughter's fears, and I want to break off from the group and ride Space Mountain or another thrill ride at some point. What would you recommend if I have limited time?
I would recommend that you buy a lightning lane for Rise of the Resistance if still available, because you can't buy one for Space Mountain, if I remember correctly, correct?
Correct. But if she has Genie Plus, she can use it on Space Mountain. But they might not get Genie Plus because the 4.5-year-old right. doesn't like any real rides.
If you get Genie Plus, yeah, use Genie Plus for Space Mountain and get in there at some point in the day. Otherwise, just buy a pass for Rise of the Resistance. Sometimes they can be up to $20. But if it's just you, you go in there, you slide through the line, have a good time, ride a ride. It's got some thrills, some spills, some fun. And then meet back up with the group.
Great. Great plan, Matt. Okay, three. Daughter is usually good with long walks and does a 2-mile loop with us pretty often. Currently, we are not planning to rent a stroller at Disney. Is this a bad idea? Do you still use one with Henry when you are there?
We do. It's not a bad idea because you could just go get one. You know what I mean?
You mean like if they're there and then they decide they need
and
one,
like,
they can
oh
go
God,
get
we
one.
Need a stroller.
Yeah,
they
totally.
Can just go up and get one.
True. I find that having a stroller at Disney is helpful partly because like even if your kid is a big walker, there's something about Disney that just like tires children out. Like you see a lot of children in strollers sleeping who like look too old to be sleeping in strollers.
Right.
Especially if you're planning on like staying all day and all night. Like if you're planning on staying through fireworks, then you're going to want a stroller. The other nice thing about a stroller is you can like put stuff in a stroller. So you don't have to carry everything all the time. Although I don't know if the Disney rental strollers have storage.
Storage? They probably do.
They
want you to buy things.
Okay. Her other sensory quirk is that she's scared of automatic flush toilets, especially in busy bathrooms with multiple stalls flushing all at once.
What's that like?
What is the Disney potty situation like? Are there any one-person bathrooms? Okay. So Henry is both sensory avoidant and a sensory seeker. So he hates loud noises. He hates automatic flush toilets. He hates drones.
I have to, we have to hold his, if we happen to forget his
headphones,
essentially ear over ear protection for like skeet shooting. That's essentially what he wears.
You have to hold his ears. Yeah. Like really hard.
Even if you assure him that it's not an automatic flush situation.
Yep. He also doesn't like loud flushes, so even if it's not automatic, if it's loud,
right,
that is also not acceptable. He doesn't like the sound of the hand dryer. You have to hold your hands over his ears for the hand dryer. It's a whole thing. So we get you. They are automatic flush. I believe there is a single stall bathroom in the baby care center,
which is between Casey's Corner. Is that what it's called?
It's basically across from Plaza Inn, right? Is that what it's called?
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking of Disney World Care, which is next between the Crystal Palace and Casey's Corner.
So
Disneyland is on the other side,
yeah,
right?
So there's a baby care center where you can go if you...
Right like, past the...
Need to feed your baby.
What is that called?
There's a shop in the corner Plaza? That always sells all the Christmas ornaments. It's next to that.
Yeah. It'll be on a map.
You basically go down Main Street and then kind of where it ends and you see the like circular path start.
The hub.
You go to the right and it's kind of tucked away in the back there. I believe they have single stall.
To the right. It's to the right of Tomorrowland's entrance.
But it's not close to there. So that will be confusing for her.
What do you mean? It's right there.
It's not, but okay. I believe they have single stall bathrooms. I've never tried to use that bathroom with Henry as a non-baby. But I feel like they should let you. They've let me fill up my water bottle in there. Like, I feel like it would be okay. Especially if you were like, hey, my daughter
They're
is
fine.
Like, doesn't like automatic flush toilets. Like, can we use the bathroom?
You might want to, with all of her idiosyncrasies, you might consider going and speaking with somebody at either town hall or another person in plaid. And perhaps getting a DAS pass.
Also known as a DAS pass, which stands for Disability Access Service, which, it depends.
Particularly on the bathroom front. I mean, I'm like, whoa, that's just like, that is something that is going to hinder your day. If you can't, you got to pop back, say you're in line or something, you got to leave line to go to the bathroom way over there.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, think about it.
Yeah, you can look that up on Disney's website and get more information about it.
Don't abuse the system, people. It's rude.
All right, thanks. This is Anonymous in the Bay Area with two adults, one kid, and 2,000-ish square feet, zero hot dogs, 165-inch TV.
Hmm. That's it, huh?
All right, well, this brings us to the actual end of the show.
Really?
Yeah, that was it.
I got a tickle in my throat and I'm out of water and all I see around me is caffeinated beverages and it's so late now.
Don't drink them. Don't drink them. Do you want me to bring you some water? I'll brave the moat.
No, I don't want you to.
I'll brave
there's
the enough, moat.
There's standing water outside of my office, so it should be fine.
Oh, that's great.
All right, here we go. As we get down here, let's talk about patreon.com/excellentadventure. That's where you can support this show, as well as support Dory and I, while also getting some content. You get up to 2 bonus episodes. If you're at the $5 level or above, you get your name right on the podcast each month. There's some lovely folks at the $25 level. They each get a fun fact made up by me every month. This month. It's happening next week.
Okay.
So, but thank you to the following people.
Britt S. Baker.
Oh, my God. I was like, usually what happens is one of us will say it, and then the other person says the first name. Huh. I don't know, whatever. Josephine W.
Anonymous.
Ariana Perry.
Bethany.
Bonnie L.
Carol Balala McNamara.
Catherine Field.
Cecily Templeton.
Christina
Keller.
Diana Martin.
Elizabeth Motley.
Emily F.
Aaron Riley.
Gretchen.
Jenna Marie Nelson.
Jennifer Austin.
Jennifer Zayas.
Karen Perelman.
Kelly Davis.
Lauren K.
Luciana.
Maria Baker.
Mary Jo George.
Melissa Bozeman.
Mike.
Nassim Kansari.
Olivia Fahey.
Adina L.
Alicia.
Don.
Katie Allen.
Lane and Kate Sepala.
Mickey Smith.
Mimi Steinberg.
Ronit Mazzoni.
Sanctuary Moon.
Tyler R. waves every time his name is said on pods.
I'm waving back, Tyler. Abba N.
Alec Meredith Fletcher and Florence Babel.
Alex Liu.
Amanda Powell.
Amy.
Andrew McClure.
And Pfluger.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you all so very much. Don't forget, ad-free over on Patreon at the $10 level or above. And otherwise, we'll see you next week.
All right. Bye. Everybody.